Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Meseches Bechoras Daf Yud. We are holding on Tesamet Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav, now this connects back to yesterday. We had a machlokes regarding the status of a Peter Hamor, firstborn donkey, prior to the redemption process being applied. What's the status of that donkey? May one use it? According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. It is off limits. Asur bahano. One may not have any benefit from it until he fulfilled his obligation, redeemed it, and gave the redemption to the Kohen. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, there's no such isra. You can use it. You can have anah from it, even before you redeem it. But of course, you have an obligation to go ahead with the pidyon. But it doesn't mean that it's asur bahanah beforehand. Comes Rabbah and adds another layer to this discussion. Amar Rabbah. Umayde Rabbi Shimon, even Rabbi Shimon who allows access to the donkey prior to redemption, he would agree. Suppose the owner opted out. He was provided two options. Either proceed with the pidyon petach hamor, redeem it for the aseh, which is given to the kohen, or else, arif, he must behead the donkey from the back, and that's the end of that. Says Rav Shimon, you should know that if he turned down the offer to redeem, rather, he opted for arifa. Umoyde Rav Shimon la'achar arifa shu asr. Of course, if that arifa was done, the dead donkey is off limits completely. It's asr bahano. Why? My time. Gomar arifa arifa megla rufa. He derives through exeter shava from a similar phenomenon, the calf, which is beheaded on account of that victim found on the road. And just like over there, explains Rashi, it is Asr Bahano, likewise over here. Amar Rabba, continues Rabba, Mana Minilah. That's a big chiddush that according to Rabbi Shimon, although it was permissible prior, but after Arifa, it becomes Asr Mana Minilah. How do I know that's true? The San, you have a bright, interesting brisa, the San, your Orla. All types of items which are forbidden, Ha'orla, right? Fruits of the first 3 years of the fruit tree, v'kalei kerem, products of a cross plant in a vineyard, ushar haniskol, ushar that was condemned to death on account of killing somebody, v'egla rufa, right? V'tzipare mitzera, the birds that the mitzera use, u'petar chamar, okay, that rings a bell, u'basar b'chalav, a mix between milk and meat, kulan mitaman tumas oichan. According to the chachamim, although these items are also completely off limits, nevertheless, it is still labeled as a food material and is susceptible to the tumah which applies itself to food. So if this item now touches something which is tummy, it receives tumah, as opposed to a non-food item which is not susceptible to tumah seichon. These are, Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Aymer, he says, no, kulon ein metamen. These are things which are forbidden, useless. You can't eat it, you can't sell it to a guy, you can't have any. No, kulan ein metama tumas oichlin. There's no tumas oichlin. Now, umoyde Rav Shimon agrees, makes exception for one, bebasa b'chalav. Why? So there he says, shemitami tumas oichlin. Why? Hoil v'hoise l'shas akash. Since there was a moment in time, there was a sh'as, a moment of kosher, that it was okay. So prior to this mix happening, prior to the cooking together, each ingredient on its own was permissible. So once it acquired food status at that point, it retains that status despite being put in the pot with the basar and the chalav and becoming asr. V'amar Rabbi Yassi, Amar Rabbi Yechon, my time to Rabbi Shimon. Why is it that Rabbi Shimon cancels the food labeling from something which is, removes that food status from something which is asr bahano? The pasuk says, what constitutes food? Something which could be eaten. Something which you could have enough from either yourself or by offering it to, selling it to a guy. The pasuk says, "Mikol oichla she'ochel." This is the pasuk with respect to mas oichel. Mikol oichla she'ochel, food which could be eaten, either yourself or offering it to a guy, which will gain you some, you know, some goodwill, right? Which is also a form of benefit of anah. Only oichel food shata yochel achil lacher, which you could at least feed it to a guy, acher mad goyim, kari oichel. That has food status. However, oichel shi'ato yochel achil lacher, something which you can't even feed to a guy, such as these above mentioned items, which are also even bahana, einoi karu yochel, is not labeled as food. Continues the Gemara on the next page. Yochel. Basar b'chalav. If that's the basis for removing the food label, Rabbi Shimon made an exception. He says, basar b'chalav is different. Why? Because it was a moment in time that it had food status. Forget about that. Even now, currently speaking, according to Rabbi Shimon speaking, Rabbi Shimon holds, even a true basar b'chalav mix is a mutar bahana. So for that reason alone, it should have food status. Yachid basar b'chalav, regarding basar b'chalav, we should make exception for my yuri d'hosel l'shasa kosher. Why bother speaking about that it had a moment in time in the past that it was eligible tepuk li the oichel shata yochad achil achiru? Because currently, there's a better reason to consider it food, because even now it can be fed to a guy the son. Yib Shimon menu amim Shem Shimon. So we hold that basar b'chalav is asur b'achila and b'hanah. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Basar b'chalav asur b'achila. You don't eat it, but umutar b'hanah. You could have hanah. Shenamah, the pasuk says, "Ki am kadosh atel Hashem lekecha." And the pasuk continues, relating to basar b'chalav. We make a connection between kadosh here and kadosh elsewhere, where it's limited to isur achila. You can have benefit from it. But la'al nu'aymer. Elsewhere by the treifa, it says, "Van shei kadosh tiyun li." We make a connection. Malahal, just like over there by the treifa. It's limited to isra achila. You can have an off from it. Malah halon asur b'achila, but it's still umutar b'ano. You can have an off. Afkan here as well. Basar b'chalav asur b'achila. You can't eat it, but umutar b'ano. You can have an off. So that itself is sufficient reason to give it food status. Why bother with the other? You're right. There are two reasons. Chada by Kamar. He's merely adding one reason on top of the other. Chada. Firstly, the basic reason, because presently you could have a no from it. Oichel shata yochel achil achirim. You could feed it to a guy and have a no. But oid, furthermore, the day nami. Even with the day for the Yisrael himself, who can't eat it now, but in the past he was able to. So this element relates to the Yisrael as well. Regarding the Yisrael himself, the way he relates to this material, there was a moment in time, so that's why it retains food status. Okay, so now we understand the Brice. Brice began with a long list of forbidden materials, which according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbanan, is still considered food, despite the fact that they're forbidden. And the Matamah to Masa'echlan, according to Rabbi Shimon, correlates the two concepts. Tumas Oichlan is limited to something which is considered either edible or accessible regarding Hanoah, at least feed it to a guy. So by him, all these things are not Oichl regarding Tumas Oichlan, except for one item, which is Basar B'chalav. Now, why only one exception? There's another item on the list which apparently would have a din of Oichl. Petar Chamar, which according to Rabbi Shimon is Mutar B'hanoah. V'im Yisad L'Acharif Asher Rabbi Shimon. Now, if it were so, unlike what I'm saying, says Rabbi, I'm suggesting according to Rabbi Shimon, Petach Amar is also Ba'anoi if Tarifa. But if it would be incorrect that it would be Mutar, Shor Rabbi Shimon, so then that should be another exception to the list. Listen, the Brisa should present that Umoide Rabbi Shimon and Petach Amar Ubasa B'chalov. Not only is Basa B'chalov considered accessible and hence considered food, likewise Petach Amar Shemitama Tumas Oichlan, that's open to Tumas Oichlan. So, seemingly, it proves my point that even Rabbi Shimon agrees that Petach Hamor Eft Arifa is off limits. Well, no, not so quick. Ida Chashiv Aleya Chanami. Truly, if he would have had intention, Machshava, had he designated it for food, yeah, of course. A Chanami, it would be considered food. He designated, you know, to feed a togoy. We're speaking that he didn't have machshava to eat it. He didn't label it as food in his mind, so therefore, its default state is non-food. It's a dead donkey, which, you know, is not typically considered food. Even Goyim refrain from, we'll see later, from dead non-kosher animal, horses, you know, donkeys. So, again, perhaps, no, Petach Hamor is Mutar Bahano. It's just that, unless he planned on treating it as food, either for himself or for a good, it's not considered food. So now the question is in the reverse, why do Rabbanon yet consider it food? If he didn't have machshava, why do Rabbanon consider it food if he had no machshava to eat it? Amru Rabbanon kamei de Rav Sheshes, the Chacham presented to Rav Sheshes an interesting theory, interesting concept. Hoil v'yisurei chishuvay. They held like this. Sometimes its Isser status can compensate for Machshav. Rashi says like this. Interesting, Rashi. About 8-9 lines from the top. Yisur Chishuva, Isser de Aser l'Rachmana l'Yisrael m'shavi l'Eichel. The fact that the Torah considers it Aser for us to eat, that in itself elevates its status. It gives it prominence, negative attention. The Kibun de Aserle. The fact that Torah has to go and make it awesome, apparently it's considered edible for a guy. You don't eat it, the guy could eat it. So the fact that it becomes awesome for us has a reverse effect. It's considered food regarding a guy. And without explicit designation. Ask the Gemara, L'Rabbanan Yamrin, Hoil V'Yisurei Chishuva. He comes a whole long string of kashrus on this concept. According to Rabbanan, the Isser can act in lieu of designation. But now we have a mission. Shlesha Sadvarim Nemru Benivlas Eftar. There are 13 halachis regarding the dead kosher bird. And this is one of them. Tzricha Machshava. You have to label it as food. You have to have Machshava, you know, to feed it to a guy. Vena Tzricha Hechsher. It doesn't have to get wet in order to become tame. Rashi explains because it has the potential to generate a very severe tumor. When one swallows it, it becomes tame. It's clothing dust. So when something has a power to generate severe tumah, it doesn't need hechsher, it's considered like a finished product. Okay, but back to that first halacha, why does it need to be labeled as food? If the isur by itself acts as a designator, why do you have to explicitly label it as food? Hamani Rav Shimon, no, it's going like Rav Shimon, who doesn't hold that concept. Toshmai comes another kash, Nivlas Bein B'Tamei B'Chal Mokam. You have a dead, non-kosher animal, like a dead horse, a dead donkey, wherever you are in the town or the cities. But Rashi says, "Stoma lav lachila kaimad mi'isa." Very interesting. Even for the goyim, they keep away from these dead non-kosher animals. Another reason Rashi says it has two strikes against it. First of all, it was never shecht, and first of all, it's a behemoth meir. So these are not considered food unless he explicitly designates it as such. Another example, Benivlas Eiftar, a dead kosher bird, which isn't as bad, Vachelev, or fats of a dead kosher animal, Bakfarim, so if you're in the villages where, you know, in the cities people eat this stuff, but in the villages they don't, they're not accustomed to eating these fatty things, they're poor people, this is not really considered their standard fare, so it's not automatically regarded as food unless you plan it as such. Tricha Machshava. You don't need hechsher because again these are generators of tumah. Okay, let's go back. If Isser act as a designator, why bother with machshava? These things are aser. Once again, Rav Shimon speaking. Rav Shimon, who doesn't hold this point. Tashmai comes another kash. Nivlas behim atayir b'chal makam, a dead kosher animal, wherever you're living, in the big cities or in the small villages, which Rashi says is presumed to be for eating purposes. A guy has no problem eating this, because it's just a kosher animal that died. It's not a non-kosher animal. Very interesting. We see the kosher and non-kosher designation affects even the way the goyim relate to food. Very interesting. So Nivul Plain Batur Bachalmaka. We knew us if Tahatar, Bachila Bishvakam, Bishvakam on the big cities and the big, you know, markets. So the dead kosher bird or the fats of a kosher, dead kosher animal. These things are considered edible, fair, standard items on the menu for Gayim, so you don't have to label it as food. For the Yaksha, no, there's a need Heksha for the reason we mentioned before. Let's make an inference, a diik hotmeh by machshava. Apparently, if it's a kosher, a non-kosher species that died, it needs machshava to be considered oichal. Why? The very fact that it's aser should be considered a designator. Should elevate its status and give it food status. Perhaps you can propose. Once again, this is Reb Shimon speaking. Who doesn't hold of this concept? Mani Reb Shimon. You can't say that. Homa the sefer Reb Shimon havi reishul av Reb Shimon havi, because since the next part of this halacha is Reb Shimon speaking, apparently the first part is not Reb Shimon. Tani Sefer. Halacha continues. Reb Shimon Omer af ha-gomel. Oh, here's that list of partially kosher creatures that exhibit some kosher signs. One of the two kosher signs, so it's sort of in limbo. It's somewhere in between the kosher group and the non-kosher group. Somewhere in the middle. Reb Shimon Omer af ha-gomel v'arneves v'ashem v'chazir. The camel, arneves, rabbit, the shaf, and the air, the chazir, the swine, in the So, in this case, you're actually dealing with a high quality item because it has some, partial kosher properties to it. So, you don't have to actually have machshava to make it food, and nor does it need hechsher because it has that inherent tumor. Right. Von Rav Shimon, matam. Let me explain to you why these things are unique. So unlike a truly non-kosher breed which needs to be designated as food, to be considered food, these are automatically considered food. You know why? Since they have partial simonitar, either it chews its cud or it has split hooves. So once we find Reb Shimon in the sefer, apparently the ratio is not Reb Shimon. Okay, what does the ratio say? That you have to have machshava on something which is even usur, and the question was isur echishuvai. The isur status should automatically give it food status. Ella Maravi, you're right. We're going to negate this whole theory. The isur echishuvai is not something which you're going to go with. Nobody holds of it. Okay, so now back to the brisa there, which describes the petach hamer, something which is according to Rabbanu considered food, according to Reb Shimon not considered food. Evidently, he had no machshava to make it food. That's why it's not considered metamei tumas oichlin. And then the question is, why, according to Rabban, is it considered metamei tumas oichlin if it had no food labeling to it? Nobody designated it as such. You're right. If he actually did the arifa, he beheaded it, and he did not label it as food. He had no intention of feeding it to a goy. Achinami, you're right. Even the Rabbanan would not grant it food status. Not to talk about. We turn to him in place. So why? Yes. Why is it considered food? Achinami, my skin on. We're speaking about something that happened to it, which is arbitrary, which you can, interpret both ways. So if he would have actually shechted it outright properly, so that gives it food status, as we learned back on the Kuf Yud Zayin. If you do a proper shechita with the intention to, feed it. But here, he was just practicing on it. Going sheshachtu l'islamit boy, right? So he was just practicing on this donkey. The question is, after all, it was a proper shechita halachically, but it wasn't what he was trying to do. He wasn't trying to make it edible. He wasn't trying to shecht it to make it edible. He was just trying playing around, just practicing. The question is, what status does that shechita have? Does it elevate it to food status or not? And we find the pre-existing machlokes on this matter already, which will also be the point of machlokes between Rabban and Reb Shimon and Alvarez. Okay? We plugged the Nimus. So he was a Aitano. Machlokes between him and Reb Eliezer. Or Lazar. The Sani, as we find, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi tells us, Sachli Nimus, Nimus once related to me. Who was Nimus? He was actually the brother Achiv, Shel Rabbi Yeshua Hagarsi. Okay, your brother Rosh Garsi. Some say Garsi is just the name of his place. Some say he was a bean grinder. So what do you tell me? A similar case, except instead of a donkey, he was speaking about a non-kosher bird, a raven. He shechted it just to get, you know, some practice. Now, typically, dam which emerges from a shechita has the ability to be machshir. So that blood falls on fruit. It opens a door for the tumah to affect that fruit. It's called hechshir. It has to be blood coming out of a shechita, dam chalalim. So even this sort of semi-official shechita, which is just Islamic, that blood is considered the blood of shechita and is machshir fruit. Rav Lezer says, "Dam shechita lo machshir." Rav Lezer says, "Yeah, dam shechita always works." Isn't he merely echoing Tanakama's words? What's the machlekes about? Rav Lezer and Tanakama, they're both saying the same thing. Allah, it must be that, yeah, they all agree that the blood has the ability to be machshir because it's coming from a shechita, but the question is regarding the status of this raven, of this bird, which is a non-kosher bird. Now, had it experienced a proper shechita, it would be elevated to food status. But it was a semi-formal shechita. It was Islamic. That's the point of machlekes. El alav yisuri chiyishuvi kibinai, Rashi explains, the shechita, in addition to the fact that, you know, it is usur, that itself should give it food status, right? Now that's the point of contention here. Tanakama sabar, Tanakama holds. Sure, da'i mashal alma. The blood of this shechita is considered blood which can be machshir, other food, and open the door to tuma, but to consider this very bird, to elevate it and give it food status, no way. Only a proper shechita can do that, only true designation, but this practice run doesn't cut it. Aval Lugu Fabi, regarding its own status of this bird, boy machshav, you have to consciously designate it as food. Vasu Blazul Memory disagrees. He says even this type of a shechita can do the trick. Dam shechita loy lamachshir, rafin lugufei nami lebei machshava. You don't have to actually go out of your way and designate it as food. The fact is that it did experience a halachically sanctioned shechita. It is elevated to food status. Perhaps together with the svar of Isur Chishuvah, as it sounds from Rashi. Okay, in any case, that machlekes will link to our machlekes as well, regarding the practice shechita done on the Peter Chamor. According to Chachamim, that in itself gives it food status. Reb Shimon disagrees. Says the Gemara Mimai, how do you know to connect the two discussions? There's room to differentiate Dilma, perhaps. Time to blaze a hasam, the Shani Erev. Perhaps the reason why Rabbi Lezer considers that non-kosher bird as food, that's because it's an Erev who exhibits some kosher signs. He's not fully kosher, but he's partially kosher. Hoyel v'yeshbe simani tahara. And as we said before, that can do something. Likewise, over here, will be given food status. Says the Gemara Minolan, how do you even know the Simon Tara Milsi? That's something which is technically not kosher, but just because it has some partial Simon Tara, that gives it status. The Tani Yola Dahi. You recall, a minute ago, we had Reb Shimon explaining on that brisa there. Om Reb Shimon, my time, right? The camel, those partially kosher things. My time, why they consider food even without explicit designation? Hoyel v'yesh boy or behen. Simon Tahara? So partial kosher signs can do the trick? Well, says the Gemara, so is that the reason? Why, if you shechted this raven, this lamed, or let's consider it food, because it's a raven which has some Simon Tahara? So then why bother speaking about a halachically sanctioned shechita, even without that, even if it died? By the very fact that it in itself, this bird in itself, it partially kosher, should give it food status. Perhaps you can respond and argue, if the reason is based on Siman HaTar, forget about the fact that he shechted it, even if he just was, you know, playfully handling a knife, and somehow this bird flew by and it got shechted, it was just, you know, this asik wasn't intended at all. He was preoccupied with something else. That certainly doesn't have shechita status. Who cares? But the bird itself, by virtue of its own status, should have food status. And echanami mishum nimus, you're right. It would, even without a proper shechita, but the point was to mention Li Islamid, and still Nimus disagrees, to highlight Nimus's opposition, even in the case where it was a sort of a semi-intentional shechita, you would think, well, Nimus says no, that doesn't matter, it's not a factor at play, it's not going to help him very much, and it's not going to be considered food. Hey, now let's come back to that original discussion. Rabbi had a big chiddush, even Rabbi Shimon, who allows access to the Petach Amar pre-redemption, but once he opted for Arifa, it's a goner. So now Abaye has another kasha on Rabba. We have the halacha which says Leirotza Leftoisei, the owner refuses to redeem his firstborn donkey, gone. Oirfei Bekoif, it's Ma'achoyrev Bekoif, Rasa Basana. Takes a big knife, Oirfei Ma'achoyrev, slashes it from behind, Bekoivrei, buries it, and you can't have access to it. Rabbi Shimon Mater. Shimon clearly says, you can have a no, even from the beheaded donkey. Okay, it's a clear-cut raya, not like Rabbah. Emo will revise the Bryce, Umachayim Osir Banav Shimon Mater. Bryce is talking about, while the donkey is still alive, Rabbi says it's off-limits, as per his opinion. And Rabbi Shimon says it's okay, but after Arifa, all would agree, perhaps it's us. How could you say we're talking while it's still alive? But the Sefer Mechaim, the fact that the second part B of the Brice is talking while it's alive, Havim Reish Lav Mechaim, we assume that the first part of the Brice is not talking about the same exact stage of a life, but speaking after death. Tony Sefer, part B of the Brice says, Lo Yimasen Lo Yibakon Lo Yimag Lo Yibakar Lo Megir Lo Yichasen Lo Cheder. You can't kill it in any other manner except for the way it was prescribed to be done. You can't kill it like bakana with a reed, like b'magal with a sickle, like b'karda with an actually megir with a saw, like chasan l'cheder. Nor should you put into a room and starve it. You know, delz lefonov, lock him up. Bishvul shuyam is that he dies. There's a very specific way of doing it. The brayza continues. V'aser begiz of avoidu. You can't share it. You can't work with it. Rabbi Shimon Mater says you can use the donkey. And apparently, we're speaking that he's still alive, right? That's what we're talking about. Using him and how to kill him, right? Says the Gemara, Reisha v'seifa machayim. You're right. Part A and Part B are both speaking while the animal's alive. We're not talking about after it was Arifa. So why? Do we have to repeat the same halacha and discuss, you know, whether or not you can use it? If we both are talking while it's alive, it's a repetition. Says the Gemara, it's not a repetition. Each part of the braisa is addressing a different aspect of Hanno. Reisha v'seifa machayim, part A and B are speaking while it's alive. Reisha v'anos damav. Part A is speaking about having anos damav from its value, selling it, etc. Seifa v'anos kufay. Second part is talking about whether you can access it for its own benefit. You can share it, work with it, and tzricha. And both elements, you know, have a lesson to it, and both are needed. How? Ditan anas damav. Had we only discussed whether or not you can benefit financially from the petach hamor during its lifetime, I would say bahud kashari Rabbi Shimon. Perhaps only in the act of Rabbi Shimon says you could, because it's not direct hanof from the actual animal avban al skufa, but regarding having direct hanof physically from the actual donkey, perhaps he would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that it's usur. That's why we need to learn otherwise. Another, and if we only discuss a second case where it's direct hanof from the actual donkey, perhaps speculate. Yeah, the actual Rabbi Yehuda says you can't. You can't have direct hanof from the donkey, but if it's just indirect value hanof, selling it and renting it, perhaps he would agree to Rabbi Shimon that it's okay, it's richa. Therefore, we have part A, part B, whether it's direct or indirect, I don't know. We have the same achlekes, Rabbi says asr, Rabbi Shimon says mutar, but again, we're speaking during its lifetime. We have no, which has no bearing on our chiddush of Rabba, that all agree l'ach arifas asr, that's not being discussed in this price. V'chein amar Rav Nachman, amar Rabba, baravu, So like Rabba, so says Rav Nachman, that Moider Rav Shimon, Lacharifashu, also after beheading, the Et Betachamer is also even called Rav Shimon. Oh, Rav Nachman, how do I know this? Menominilah, the Sanya, we have a Braisa, Varavtoi, which is done to the Petachamer. Nemar Kana Rifa, Venemar Lahalna Rifa. We have a Rifa over here, we have a Rifa over there by the Egla Rufa, just like over there, it's Asr permanently, Malahalna Asr, Afkan Asr, here it's Asr as well, and it must be Rav Shimon speaking. Why? Mani, who's speaking? Ilim Rabida speaking, Mechaim Eser Asr. Forget about after Rifa being Asr, it's really Asr during its lifetime. Ella Rab Shimoni, must be Rab Shimon, who allows use prior to Arifa, but after Arifa, even agrees it's off limits. Amalei Rav Sheish, the Sheish responds, he says, no, Safra, referring to Rav Safra, Chadrach, your colleague, Tirgumo, he explained the Alocha de Braisa differently. Lo Rab Yudo, it's not going with Rab Shimon, it's going with Rab Yudo. That the Bet HaChamer is Asr Bahano even during its lifetime. It's already usher from then. Why bother speaking la'achar mi? But Yisroch, there's a point to mention here. So perhaps I can say, Arifa, the beheading process of mocking p'tiya medes, is in lieu, is a substitute for the swapping with the se'. You have two options. You can swap it with a se' or do Arifa. But perhaps they both have the same result. Ma p'tiya materis, just like the redemption process, now allows access to the donkey, af arifa materis, perhaps arifa has the same effect. Kamash Malan, that's what the Brayse has to teach otherwise. But again, it's only going to Rabbi Yehuda, but perhaps according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutar mechaim, it's mutar even now. Amar Rav Nachman, na minila. Continues Rav Nachman with another proof. How do I know that according to Rabbi Shimon, even according to Rabbi Shimon, it's asr after arifa? Vitani Levi explains, look, the owner was trying to get away. Who hifsid Ramon Shal Kohen? He was depriving the Kohen of his rightful gift of the Yiseh. He failed to take the redemption option. Lefichach yufsad mayus, he's going to lose his possession. So who's speaking? Is it Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon? Mani, ilin Rabbi Yehuda, is Rabbi Yehuda speaking? Omifsad v'koy. He's going to lose, he's already lost it. He doesn't have access to the donkey. Ella Rabbi Shimon, the Braisa must be Rabbi Shimon speaking, who agrees that after Arifa, it's a gone deal. Ibo Yisima, says the Gemara, no. Ibo Yisima, Rabbi Yehuda, Ibo Yisima, Rabbi Shimon. Not necessarily so. Because the Braisa can be going to Rabbi Yehuda or according to Rabbi Shimon as follows. Ibo Yisim Rabbi Yehuda, perhaps going to Rabbi Yehuda. What does the Braisa mean? He lost it. I've said that the Beni Beni, the in-between value, meaning the fact is he could have gotten away with just a cheap seh worth trei zuzi, and now he lost his whole donkey. That's what it means. So sure, during its lifetime it's off limits, but after Arifa, pretty bad deal. He could have just made a quick redemption and gotten away with just $2 instead of losing the entire donkey worth $1,000. Boy, same Rav Shimon, or we're going to Rav Shimon, the Pras Misa. Although it was Mutar Bahano Mechaim, and even after Misa, the fact is it went down in value by virtue of its death experience. It went from $1,000, now it's worth $10. That's what it means. However, Rish Lakish also went with Rabba and Rav Nachman's opinion that Moed Rav Shimon Lacharifa Shu Aser. Even Rav Shimon agrees after Arifa it's Aser, becomes forbidden. Rav Yechanan, however, Rav Yechanan, Tamer of Lezer, they disagree. Amar Adayni Machlekes, still subject to dispute. So according to them, just like Meichaim, Rav Machlekes, Rav Yehuda says Aser, Rav Shimon says Mutal. Likewise, Lachar Arifa. V'ikud Masnal Hoder Rav Nachman Aha. Now, some had a different version. The Rav Nachman, his assertion that according to Rav Shimon, after Arifa, the donkey is also Barano, it related to a Mishnah, Aha. Mishnah Maseches Kedushin. HaMekadesh Petach Hamar. So he offers his wife to be a Petach Hamar as a Kedushin. Einam Kodeshes. Why? Because it's Asr. You have no benefit, has no value. So now the question was posed, Lema Masis Nelik Rav Shimon, perhaps this Mishnah, that gives it no value, is not consistent with Rav Shimon because, according to him, it has value. You can use it. On that, we have Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Rav Avoh. No, Lacha Arifa was speaking after death. Lirakol, even according to Rav Shimon, it's Asr Bahana. Ikadami. Some had a different version. Hamani, Loi Rabbi the Rav Shimon. That this Mishnah, which doesn't allow you to do an effective kiddushin with a petach hamar, is not going either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. Like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. Why? Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon, what's the issue? You can use the Pater Chamor before any redemption to Kadosh Bekulay. The woman who accepted it, she accepted something of value. So she become Mikudeshes as per the full value of the donkey. Vira, Bido, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, to Kadosh Bachta Beni Beni. True, the Chamor is Asher Bahanoa Mechai, but remember, there's a friendship. There's a differential there, a value differential between the actual value of the chamor and the seh, which is only $2. So she has value in this chamor, and that she can just make a quick redemption and gain $98. So what's the issue? Amar Rabba, Baravu, Amar Rav, Leilun Rabbi Yehuda, certainly it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Why doesn't it have value? Despite the fact that you could redeem it. Yeah, but this whole donkey here is a very valueless donkey. We're talking about a very cheap donkey. Low value item, only worth a shekel. And we're going like the opinion that the redemption has to be done with a seh, which is worth at least a shekel. So she has no money in this. It's going to be a shekel for a shekel. They're going like that sheet of the sanya. Tifta, tifta. It says the word tifta, redeem, twice regarding Petach Hamor. We learn tifta miyad. You can redeem it immediately upon birth. You don't have to wait 30 days like by a person. Tifta kolshu. You can redeem it with an animal worth even a penny. There's no minimum value requirement. However, basically the aimer, aim p'di abuchas p'usim mishekel. Even if you use a goat, it has to be worth at least a shekel to make an effective redemption. We'll see later the reason for that. And since the donkey is worth no more than a shekel, so you're getting a shekel for a shekel, she has no money in it, and therefore it's not mekudesh. Okay, let's continue another little bit here. Let's go back to the Drasha we just learned. Tifta teaches us like this. Tifta miyad. You can do the redemption on the donkey immediately after birth. Tifta kolshu, the animal being used in redemption, could be worth just nothing, just, you know, anything. Says the Gemara Pshita. Well, why would I not be allowed to do that? I mean, why do we need a pasuk that you can do it on day one of birth? You can use even a cheap redemption. Pshita says the more istrich. There's a point to mention this. Why? Perhaps I would say hoil v'istrich b'charadim. Since in the same pasuk we have a mentioning of the firstborn donkey being redeemed and the firstborn male, perhaps we can correlate the two. Ma b'charadim achashloishim. Just like by a human, you have to wait until 30 days are up. And also v'chamish. You must redeem with five coins, five selah, right? As the pasuk says, "P'tuyev ben chaydash tifte v'chamishas." Right? Perhaps the same rules apply to a petach hamor. Hanami achash leishim v'chamish has to wait 30 days and five selah. Kamash mon tifte miyat tifte kolshu. Comes the pasuk and says, "No, even right away, even using an animal worth very little." However, v'yisur b'daimer aim p'tiyev p'chusim mishekel. The animal used for petach hamor needs to be worth at least a shekel, and the question is why? Miman of shekel, where's he coming from? Imakash lebchor adam. What's the basis for his shekel minimum? Imakash lebchor adam. If he's connecting to the bchor adam, chamish lebo, he should need five selah, like the bchor adam. Iloy makash. If he's not going to correlate it to the bchor adam shekel, no, how does he get to the shekel? Iloy makash. Certainly, it's not because he's connecting it to the bchor adam. I'm a rabba. I'm a kodesh. The pasuk says v'chol erech ha'yeb shekel ha'kodesh, which is by erechin where you donate a person's value, and we learn from there. That relates to our redemption process, this evaluation, this assessment, this redemption has to be no less than a shekel. Rabbanan said no. Turn to the next page. That's not speaking about petach hamor. Speaking about a fellow who pledged to give a person's value and the fellow can't afford it. So we go and we examine his financial state and obligate him accordingly. But at a minimum, he has to give a shekel, no less. That's the point of the other pasuk. Even when he's compelled to give, you know, less because of his financial standing, but no less than a shekel. Omar of Nachman. Okay, bottom line. What's the end of the day? What do we do with the petach hamor? How much does the seh have to be worth? Omar of Nachman. Allah kedibre chachamim. We go like the chachamim. The seh can be worth even a kosher. V'kama. The more continues. But okay, how much should it be worth? Omar of Yisrael. Afilu patruza. Even a weak, low value goat. Bar danka, worth just a danka, which is a ma, which is very little. Amar Rava, af ananam etanina, we find the same in our Mishnah. There's no minimum value. Gadol v'katon, it could be big, it could be small. Says the Gemara. Well, Pshita, I mean, why do we need to go through this whole thing and prove it from the Mishnah? I mean, go back to the wording of the Chacham. They said a kosher. Kosher means a kosher. Why would I think otherwise? Well, the Tema, perhaps I would think, Kuliyai loy loy, you know, kosher, even a kosher has a limit. But this weakling goat that's worth very little, perhaps that's going a bit too far. And the answer is, it's okay. Inami. So perhaps if it's worth so little, it doesn't cut it. Inami or patruzaloi, because it's weak in state, maybe that's a strike against it. Kamashmal, and that's what we need to highlight, that even a weak-looking goat, and even if it's worth just a donka, it works. We had a story, Rabbi Danasiya. So in his household, there was a firstborn donkey. Havalei petachamar. Okay, Shadal kavei the Rabbi Tarfin. He sent to Rabbi Tarfin with a question. Omalei kama bina lewis l'koin. How much am I required to give the coin? How much should the goat be worth? Amalei says, listen to this formula. Re'omra chacham established as follows. Ayin yof, a generous fellow, besela, should be worth a sela. Ayin ra, a stingy fellow, b'shekel, should be worth a shekel. A sela is 4 dinar, a shekel is 2. And beinoin is the average person, beragya is 3 dinar. Okay, so here you go. Pick your choice. Amar Rav, hilchos of a ragya. At the end of the day, the halacha is you should use the ragya, which is worth 3 dinar. V'kama, how much that's lost a zuzi? 3 zuzi, which is 3 dinar. Because that's a golden compromise. It's somewhere between the shekel and the sela. Ragal hacha, ragal hacha, close to this and close to that, somewhere in between. Now, what's going on? We seem to have an open contradiction. Here we're saying it should be worth a ragya, which is 3 zuz. And a minute ago we said the halacha is even a patruza bardanka, worth very little. We seem to have a contradiction between the two halachas. Well, Kashi, the answer is, did you ask or are you just doing it? You're doing it on your own. You didn't ask. You did it. Fine. Done is done. But if you're coming to ask, you know what? Give the kain something of value, something respectful. It should be worth at least 3 zuz. Okay, so let's do a quick recap. Staff. Is the patach mor mutar bahano? Kontra Buda, Aser, Kontra Shimon Mutter. What about after Arifa? We chose to take the Arifa option. Well, according to Rabba, according to Rav Nachman, right? According to some Shittas, even Rav Shimon would agree at this point it's Aser Bahano, whereas Rav Yechon, Rav Elazar hold no. Even after Arifa, Rav Shimon would maintain that it's Mutter Bahano. This drew us into a whole discussion with a brisa, with another brisa, all kinds of kashas and rice. We had an interesting concept called Yisuri Chishuv, which is more negated. We had an interesting question of Shachtel Islamid, whether it considers it food. We had ways to explain the Mishnah regarding Kiddushin, why it doesn't work with Petach Hamor. And we had the conclusion regarding the value of this, how much it has to be worth, in order to be considered an effective pidyon. If one to raise a yudah, it has to be worth a shekel. One to rabbanon, halachically speaking, even a kol shu. But if you come to ask, we advise you to be a bit more generous. Okay, a bit generous with the kain, Hashem will be generous with you, my baba, Allah shalom, Allah shalom. One of her last words to me was, she was nifta about a year ago, she says, after Aibishta, if you do chesed with others, don't worry, Hashem will do chesed with you. Amen. All the best to you and atzlacha rabba.